Ask you if you would please to turn in your Bible as we continue to Psalm 126. And that may sound like an odd place to turn for a missionary, but we're going to look at a universal truth here this evening from Psalm 126. There are certain principles in the Bible, as I said, they are universal. This is not an Old Testament principle, this is a universal principle. What we're about to look at is applicable in economics. It's applicable in farming or agriculture. It's applicable to missionaries who go overseas. And I believe it also applies to our local church, this local church right here in the Downers Grove area. And so I hope these verses will be a challenge and encouragement to each and every one of us. And if you can, please stand with me as we read these verses. If you're not able to do that, that is not a problem with me. But I like to make a distinction between God's word and my words, all right? I may stutter and say some things and whatever. What we're about to read is God's word. It's perfect, and we thank God for His word. And so I hope we can pay close attention as I read these verses from Psalm 126, a song of degrees. Starting in verse 1, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Let's pray together as we continue. Father, we do thank you for the truth and the truths that we have just read of. We thank you for the history in those early verses and the testimony of deliverance and the glory of God to God's people. But Father, we also thank you for the principles and the truths in those final two verses that we're going to look at this evening. Father, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit. I pray that you would fill each one here in this room this evening with your Spirit, that we would listen carefully to your word, that your Holy Spirit would have free reign in our hearts and our minds, and that we would not leave this auditorium this evening the same way we came. Father, may we yield to you, conform us to your image. If we need challenge, challenge us. If we need encouragement, Lord, may your word be what we need for each of our lives this evening. Bless this service, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. The title of the message this evening also is our challenge this evening, and that is to go forth. To go forth. How should we go forth? Why should we go forth? Well, I want to answer that question, how we should go forth, based on these last two verses of Psalm 126 this evening. The first way we should go forth, I believe, according to the Scriptures, is we should go forth in obedience. We should go forth in obedience. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 is very concise, it's one of the four Great Commission passages, as we call it, but it's very succinct. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That is a command. I am sorry to say, even embarrassed to say this evening, that even though I grew up in a Christian home, attended a Christian school, and even went to Bible college for 1 year, it wasn't until after that first year of Bible college I was working in a Christian camp, and a preacher, a pastor came in and preached from Matthew chapter 28 during that family camp at that Christian camp that I was counseling at, and I realized for the first time in my life that the Great Commission is a command for every follower of Christ. I thought the Great Commission was just for pastors and missionaries. And I realized God was commanding me, just as He's commanding each of you this evening, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I was content to finish Bible college. I had an idea of being a youth pastor, and I was content to do that. But that evening, I realized that God's command is a global command. And I went forward in that service along with two other men, two other young men, and two of us ended up as missionaries in Africa. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God's command. We should go forth in obedience. We should go forth in obedience no matter the cost. I hope you were paying attention to those words that we sang tonight, asking the question, am I a soldier of the cross? Of the cross. Those words are profound. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight if I would win. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Is that our prayer tonight, or is that just a song that we sing? Are we soldiers of the cross? Are we soldiers obeying that command around the world, no matter the cost? I think of Jeremiah. We recently read through Jeremiah in our family devotions together, and I was reminded of that passage. I always shake my head. It amazes me when I get to Jeremiah chapter 20. And Jeremiah has been preaching for years and years and years. And then all of a sudden, the governor, who was also the priest, the governor takes Jeremiah. He's sick and tired of his prophecies of the future and the judgment coming, and literally puts Jeremiah in stocks right by the temple. Now, I don't know, you know, what you think of when you think of stocks. I imagine people going to the temple and then, oh, there's that guy that's always preaching judgment. And I think of flying tomatoes and I think of everything else, the embarrassment and the ridicule. And the Bible tells us that Jeremiah cried out to God. And he says, God, you lied to me. All I'm experiencing is ridicule. I'm just experiencing embarrassment and all of this. I'm not doing this anymore, God. I'm not preaching anymore. I'm done. Now, Jeremiah couldn't fold his arms because he was in the stocks, but just kind of imagine him saying to God, I'm done, I'm sick of this. And then there's kind of this pause as you're reading through and you think of what's going on in Jeremiah's heart and his passion for the Lord and how he cannot continue in disobedience. And so finally he says, all right, I can't do it. God's word is like a fire in my bones. I can't just sit and disobey God. God, I'll do it. I'll go. I'll continue preaching the message that you have called me to preach, no matter the cost. Go forth in obedience, no matter the response. I know the United States of America is getting colder and colder to the things of the Lord. I understand that. Do you remember in Isaiah chapter 6 when God showed himself to Isaiah in that vision? And Isaiah looked to God and he said, here am I, send me. And God said, go and tell this people, these people who are not going to listen to you, I want you to go and tell these people, their hearts are heavy and their ears are stuffed and they're not going to listen to you. I want you to go and tell them. And you can just kind of imagine Isaiah. He asked the exact same question that I would ask. Okay, God, how long? How long do you want me to preach to people who aren't going to listen to me? And you remember what God says? Until the cities be wasted and without inhabitants. Isaiah, I want you to keep preaching until nobody's left. Just go forth in obedience. That's your motivation. That's why you go, because I told you to go. So many times I'm afraid missionaries go for other motives. We emphasize the importance of evangelism and seeing people saved. And I'm a missionary and I love evangelism and I love people seeing people saved. But you know what? Some days you don't see anybody saved. And you preach the gospel and you preach the gospel and you preach the gospel and you know what you're supposed to do? Keep preaching the gospel till nobody's left. That's the motivation of the missionary. It's not the response of the people. It's God who said, go forth in obedience. Amazing. No matter the result, no matter how much fruit, and going forth with no excuse. To go forth in obedience. Secondly, I see in our text tonight, to go forth with weeping. Look at this, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Go forth with weeping. Not only going forth in obedience, but go forth with weeping. Luke chapter 19, verse 41, the Bible describes Jesus as he looks out over the multitudes. And the Bible says, he beheld the city and wept over it. In Matthew 9, 36, and also Mark 6, 34, it says the exact same thing. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Why? Because they were like sheep scattered abroad, having no shepherd. He was moved with compassion. When was the last time we were moved with compassion? Moved to tears for the lost. This is a universal truth. It's just as true today as it was when the psalmist penned these words. Go forth with weeping. How do we see sinners today? I know in my own life, I catch myself getting angry when I see sinners doing the things that they do. When I see politicians doing things, and I just shake my head and say, how in the world? How can we go this route? How can they think this way? And my default tendency is to get angry. Our default tendency needs to be compassion. It needs to be tears. Let me share something, a truth that if I apply it in my life is very, very helpful. All right? You may want to write this down. It might be shocking. It might change your life. Okay? Are you ready? Here's the truth. Here it is in nugget right here. Sinners sin. That's what they do. That's what sinners are professional at doing. Sinners sin. We're driving down the interstate. That guy cuts you off. And your natural carnal tendency is to get angry. Hey, guess what? Sinners sin. That's what they do. Going back to what I said about politicians, we see these politicians doing stuff. And our flesh is so angry at what we see. And yet, the Bible describes those that bring about perversion and corruption in the end. 2 Timothy 3:16 describes them as deceiving and being deceived. Have you ever thought about that? These false preachers and these that are promoting ungodliness in our society, in our world today, they're deceived as well. They are just as sincere as you are. They are just as idealistic. They are just as passionate about the chaos and the wickedness that they are promoting. They are deceived as well. And rather than getting angry at sinners when they do what they do, sin, the Bible is reminding us tonight that we should overflow with compassion. Again, let me ask you again, when was the last time you wept over lost souls? Souls in your family, your neighbor's soul, your coworkers, friends, classmates at school. When was the last time we wept over those who are deceived in their sin? Sheep having no shepherd. My pastor once said in Chattanooga that plants need water and souls need tears. When was the last time we wept over the lost? The Bible reminds us tonight we should go forth. Go forth in obedience. Go forth with weeping. And finally, look at verses 5 and 6 once again. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I said this is a universal truth. We just dropped off our two oldest in Bible college. And I'm going to be honest with you, there were tears. I think there were tears on both sides of the hug, all right? But you know what? There's that promise that if they continue to follow the Lord in obedience, even though there are tears, because they are seeking the Lord through the Word of God, there will be rejoicing, there will be profit, there will be a return with sheaves. And of course, we long and look forward to those days by faith. Notice it says we need to go forth. Number three, go forth with precious seed. Going forth with precious seed. Luke chapter 8 in verse 11, Jesus explained that the precious seed is the Word of God. We need to go forth with the precious seed. There are people who go forth with platitudes, and there are people who go forth with cliches, and sometimes we see people going through a hard time. We need to be very careful that we give them comfort from the precious truth, the precious seed, rather than everything's going to be okay. Do we know that? Do we know everything's going to be okay? We need to be careful. Oh, take heart. It'll get better from here. Well, what if it gets worse, right? We need to give comfort from the precious seed, the Word of God, the Word of truth. When it comes to going forth with the precious seed, we need to be faithful in that. I know there has been an emphasis through the years in lifestyle evangelism, and we should live wholly separate lives, absolutely. But nobody ever got saved without some lip-style evangelism. The Bible is clear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's good to bake cookies and give to your neighbors. It's good to be involved in social programs. It's good to dig wells for those in places that don't have clean water. And it's good to establish hospitals and things that are profitable physically. But we need to yoke those opportunities with the precious seed as well. We need to take the gospel. My wife had malaria the last month we were there in Cameroon, and she ended up in a hospital, and it was scary there for a while. And that was supposed to be a Christian hospital, and we were there and spent the night and had follow-up and so forth, and not once in that Christian hospital did anyone share the gospel with us or go around through the rooms and share the gospel. What is the point of extending someone's life if it just keeps them from going to hell just for a couple more years? I don't mean to be unkind, but we need to go forth with the precious seed, the Word of God. It's very good to build bridges, as I said, but we need to cross those bridges with the Word of God, with the gospel. It's the gospel that makes the difference. It's the gospel that changes lives. Years ago, when we first moved to Cameroon, we found this piece of property the Lord provided for us, and the Yiders were across the valley in another house, and that was kind of an answer to prayer that we could be in one location together. And so we got settled into this house, and well, it needed a lot of work, but it came with a lot of land, and there was a farm next to it, and we were very, very thankful. Now, our house there is an unusual situation because the boundary marker between two villages was literally right beside our house. So one side of the boundary marker was Bambui, and the other side of the boundary marker was Bambili. And it was right beside our house. So people would come to us and they'd say, I think I know where that house is. Where is that located? And I would, they would say, is it in Bambili or Bambui? And I would say, yes. I would tell them that my wife and I sleep in Bambui and my kids sleep in Bambili because our house is divided right in half between these two villages. Well, that division complicated the land certificate that was made because both chiefs, the chief from both villages, had to come out and certify the property and when the man gave the money and so forth. It was all working, but it had to be worked out in two different villages. So the family on one side wasn't really on board with that piece of property being sold. They considered that their property, and they didn't really feel like the chief had the right to sell that piece of property. And so before we even moved into the house, one of the sons of the man that lived down on that side of the house, he ended up selling part of that property to somebody else. And then when they found out, okay, this isn't a land certificate, they realized they got ripped off. They were unable to build anything there or develop that piece of land. And so after a few years, it worked out so well for that son, he went ahead and sold it again for the same piece of property. I don't know how much he sold it for, but he sold it again. And then we moved into the house. And one day we're sitting in the living room and I hear some chatting, some talking going on outside. And so I walked out there to see what was going on. And I noticed this guy had marked off another piece of that land. And I realized right away what he was doing. And so I went down there and I said, hey, how are y'all doing? Met them, introduced myself. I said, I'm the pastor that lives in this house right here. I don't own the house, but that's where I live. And you may want to check with the lady who we rent from because she thinks she owns this piece of land, and something along those lines put that. Well, the couple, that they realized right away that this guy was trying to dupe them, and so they were out of there and a little embarrassed. And then that guy, Francis, my neighbor, he got up in my face. He was so angry. He said, Pastor, this is none of your business. If I had a spear, I would kill you right now. This is none of your business. And I don't remember how that conversation ended, but it wasn't very cordial. And for the next several years, I'm talking like 10 years, we would see this guy, we would wave, he would get a firm face and walk away, and we never really did get along with him, as you can imagine. Now, his dad was a whole different story. His father, Mbako, became a very good friend of mine, and when we were learning the pidgin dialect, I knew his dad did not speak English. And so I would force myself, as one of my near neighbors, I would force myself to go down there and sit with him for hours at a time sometimes, trying to communicate with him in pidgin as I was learning the language. And of course, that's all he would communicate with me in his pidgin. And it helped me to pick up the language very well. And he got excited about that and so forth. And so he started attending Bible Baptist Church there in Bombili. And on Easter Sunday, one Sunday, Pa Mbako, as we called him, trusted Christ as his Savior. Well, the years are going by now, and one day Pa Mbako passed away. Because he was with our church, and we had the privilege and the opportunity of preaching the funeral and the burial at his family compound just below our house. I mean, right there, just below our house on that hillside. And had the amazing privilege of preaching the gospel in pidgin on his property right there where he was buried. And his son, Francis, was there. And we sang, we preached, we had a wonderful time, opened up doors for many in the family and so forth. Well, that was a Saturday, and the next day, Sunday, had the opportunity to preach there at Bible Baptist Church like I always did, and Mr. Francis walked in the back door. I couldn't believe it. He came in, he sat down on the back bench there in the church, preached the Sunday morning message, preached the gospel. We had to rush to another church. We were in two different churches two different churches on Sunday. And so we rushed to town. When we came back in the afternoon, I told Becca, I said, listen, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to see Mr. Francis. God's obviously doing something. Don't even worry about lunch. I'm just going to go down there and talk to him and find out what's going on. Went down to his house and started a conversation, and it was evident Mr. Francis was under conviction. He had heard the gospel Saturday, he heard the gospel Sunday, and God was doing a work in his heart. And after some time, that day, on that Sunday afternoon, a man who had threatened to kill me just about 10 years earlier bowed his head right there and repented and believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, how did that happen? Was it because I was such a great missionary and the messages were so great? No, I'll tell you how that happened. The precious seed of the Word of God changes lives. It's not those bridges that we build. Yes, they are important. We need to live a lifestyle, and we need to demonstrate and show love, but we also, with our love, need to preach the precious seed of the Word of God. We need to preach the gospel, again, with our coworkers and our neighbors and our friends and those that are in our family. Oh, I know, family is difficult to witness to. But we need to go forth in obedience. And we need to go forth with weeping and compassion. And we need to go forth not with our opinions, and not with our philosophies and not with our political platforms. We need to go with the precious seed of the Word of God. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I want to thank you all for your faithful partnership through the years, and I want to challenge you with this challenge from this psalm to go forth, not only here in Downers Grove in the Chicago area, but to keep in mind that command to go forth into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let's all stand together. I'm going to close in prayer and turn it over to Pastor. Father, we thank you this evening that somebody went forth in obedience and in compassion, shared the precious seed of the Word of God with us one day. Oh God, I thank you as a 12-year-old boy hearing and understanding that gospel message. God, I thank you for your grace. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here this evening who's never known and repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray tonight would be their night of salvation. God, I pray if there's a Christian here this evening who has not been going forth as you've instructed us to go forth in your word tonight, I pray tonight we would surrender that. And by your Spirit's power and boldness, we would go forth this week the way you have instructed us to go forth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.